before, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 135. Before we read, Miss McCormick, the fella sitting right behind you, he was 4 hours from going to heaven. And they told him he wasn't going to make it. And he's as ornery as the devil right now, let me tell you. Alive and kicking, let me tell you. God is, there is hope, amen. There is hope. Psalm 135, we're going to read verses 5 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray. You'll be seated, and Brother Stoltz will do a special for us. And then I'm going to come back and preach to you this morning. I want you to listen carefully. Psalm 135, verses 5 through 13. Let's read responsively here. For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all the deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, and he bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast, who sent tokens of wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdom of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. And let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd use the word of God today. I'm just a sinner. I am no more a good person than any other human being in this room that is the worst of people. But Lord, you've saved us, you've saved me, you've called me, you've given us a perfect book. And as I preach the perfect book today, would you let your words penetrate deep into each and every need, each and every life and heart. And I pray that you would use it to help us in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The sovereignty of God is difficult for man to understand. Say, why? Because from the first sin that man sinned, we have struggled with God's sovereignty. And when I use the word sovereignty, that means this. God's the boss. We do what he says. We don't do what we say.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Amen. See, man in his first sin, just like Lucifer, Satan in his first sin, chose that what we want is more important than what God wants. And God says it doesn't matter what you want, what I want is more important than what you want.
That's right.
Man's first sin was telling God what I want is more important than what you told me to do. Now, because of this, God gets judged by man not only unfairly, but wrongly. I'll make a statement here. When bad things happen, we want to blame God for not preventing it from taking place.
Uh-oh.
Why is it God's fault?
That's right.
God didn't sin. We have.
Amen.
See, we get this mentality, well, God could have prevented it. Well, he may have been able to prevent it, but may I tell you something? There is a law called the law of sowing and reaping. And God will allow those laws to keep going. God is not the sinner. Man is.
You're right.
Let me make a very profound statement. You ready? God is God.
Amen.
Muhammad Ali is not God. Have a hard time lifting up a man who denounced his own country to change his name in the 1960s from Cassius Clay to become an Islamist. A man who would not go to war during Vietnam ended up having a 3-year battle in the Supreme Court. I have a hard time lifting him up as a hero, just so you know. My heart grieves over the fact that he's, if he believes what he said he believed, he's burning in hell right now. Everybody doing all right? Now, God is God. We should not tell him how we are going to get ourselves to heaven. We should obey what he said do here to get us to heaven. See, man has this way of saying, well, the Bible doesn't matter. The church is more important. And what the church says ought to tell us what the Bible says. No, what God says is more important than what any church says. We should not live the life the way we want. We should live the way God wants us to live. We ought to follow what God said in his word and live the way God said live, not the way we choose. Well, I think the Bible says this. Doesn't matter what we think it says, what does it say? You see, and everybody hold on tight here. We shouldn't let people decide how people should go to heaven and how we should tell them. We ought to obey what God said about going out and telling everybody. All of our cute little programs of today and all of the people that say, well, soul winning's not important. If God wants them saved, they're going to hear the gospel. Well, God chose man to go to every creature and give them the gospel. And if we don't do it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault because we were commanded. By the way, if we would have lived the way God said, he wouldn't have had to have the gospel because we wouldn't have died and gone to hell. Everybody doing all right? God is not some all-powerful genie that we rub the bottle and he pops out and does whatever we command him to do. See, we get this concept of God that while everything is going all right, God is good. But when things aren't going right, God's judging me and God hates me and I don't understand God. And why would God do this to me? We think we've got life all figured out. Make a statement here. Man thinks he's got life all figured out, but no man has ever lived forever. None. We think we've got the world by the tail and don't realize it's biting us while we're grabbing it. Yeah, buddy. My little puppy dog. My little beagle. You talk about a chick with an attitude. That's my dog. From the time we brought that little critter home and she was about that big, she doesn't like nobody touching her tail. I mean, you grab her tail, she's nipping at you. She's full grown. She still does not like somebody grabbing her tail. You reach for that tail, it'll last about 3 seconds and you see her eyes and her mouth starts going like this. And you know it's coming. I got it timed perfectly now. Where I can just grab that thing and she'll look at me and she's going like that and I let go. And it doesn't matter how many times you grab it, she's going to nip at you. If you did it 100 times in a row, she's going to nip at you. My wife says, why do you pester her like that? Because it's fun. Can I tell you what? Man's so stupid, we have gods that aren't real. We have gods that have died and didn't conquer death, but we won't listen to the only God that conquered death, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, man has stooped so low that we've even tried to rewrite God's words and say they're God's words. We've tried to match what God said, listen to this, and say we don't like what he said, we'll change it, and we'll be our own God by writing our own version of this so that we don't have to live the way God said. We'll make it more accommodable for people to live God's words. We now have religious people who tell you, well, let me tell you what God meant here. Did you know God's very capable to say what he wanted to say the way he said say it? Man has no right to tell God how eternity should be or how this life should be. Man didn't create life. God did. Amen. Now, God says here in Psalm 135, verse number 6, I love this statement. I want you to look at it. The Bible says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. In heaven and in earth. Can I tell you something?
Whatever the Lord wants, he does in heaven and in earth. Did you know God didn't say it pleases him as long as we obey him? He's pleased whether we obey him or not. Did you know that heaven and earth will please God whether we do what God says or not? He said, whatsoever pleased the Lord, that did he in heaven and in earth.
Now, this world is all screwed up. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what bathroom to go in. From the time I was a little boy, before I could even remember, my mom and dad taught me, because of plumbing, I'm a boy. And I knew which bathroom to go into. Now you have a president who says, well, I think the law should be, and has changed the law to where every public school in America, listen to this, not only can you choose what bathroom you're going to, but the children will choose what locker room they go into and which showers they go into. Or they'll lose all federal funding. I hate to tell you, that's filthy, vile nastiness. Now, listen to me carefully. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's God talking, not man. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God is the all-powerful God, not Muhammad, amen. Not Allah,
yes, sir.
Not Buddha.
Amen.
That's all bellies are given. No, not some stone, not some stick, not a totem pole. Jehovah God is all-powerful.
Amen.
Now listen to me. What right do we have to tell that all-powerful God what to do? What right do we have to tell the all-powerful, almighty God he's wrong, we're right? Say, well, I don't understand him. You're right, because you're not all-powerful. God didn't tell you to understand him. He said trust him. How do we, the creation, tell the Creator he's wrong? Now listen to me. Who are we to tell God he messed up? People lose their homes, people lose businesses, and people lose their lives when a hurricane comes through because they live too close to water. If man is so smart, why does he build his homes and his businesses right on the waterfront? And yet when those businesses and those homes and those lives are taken, we say, where's God now? He said, I gave you enough sense not to build that close to the water, ding dong. That's in the Greek, just so you know. If man's that smart, why does he build so close? We know it's going to happen. Everybody doing all right? We live so close to rivers that overflow their banks. These and please listen to me. When the water is running down the road and you don't see the road, it's not real smart to drive across it. Simple, basic. Especially when the water comes over your bumper or your car or your truck. 3 inches of water moving fast enough, you'll lose control of your vehicle. Doesn't matter how big a vehicle you have. And yet we think, and by the way, there are people that lost their lives in Texas this week trying those things.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. People are going to blame God. God's not the one that crossed the river. They are. Now, man feels pretty smart and blames God when nature destroys man's plans. Why is it that God's good when everything goes man's way, but when things don't go man's way, God's not good anymore?
Amen.
Why do we get bitter and angry with God when God doesn't match what we want? Why is it that man expects God to listen to us, but we don't expect ourselves to listen to him? Could it be that God sees and knows more than we see and we know? I want you to notice something. God can do what God wants to do. God can do what God wants to do. You say, why? Because he's the all-powerful, almighty, sovereign God. He doesn't have to explain himself to us. Now, I do not believe that every bad thing that happens to us is the judgment of God. Listen to me very close. Quit playing God. Well, something bad happened to the so-and-so, and God must be judging them. Who are you to play God? Well, the few did the funeral for the Avalar family yesterday. My daughter goes to college with their oldest daughter. Family was on vacation. The oldest girl was working at the church camp. Dad and three small brothers were killed in the accident. Mom and grandmother and one of the other sisters were badly injured. Four caskets lined up at Brother Fugit's yesterday as he did a funeral. He and I were together yesterday morning talking, and I said, Doc, I said, I'm hurting for you. I can't imagine. I said, I know your church is hurting. He said, God's grace is good, preacher. Amen. I said, yes, it is. The trouble is needing it stinks. He said, good point. I said, it's true. I said, it stinks when we need it for salvation because that means we messed up. Stinks in the Christian life because it means we're going through a difficulty. You see, no matter how good of a Christian you are, you're still a sinner. And you're still going to reap for sin. Now, listen to me very carefully. You're not going to be judged for your sins if you're saved. Can I tell you one of the greatest benefits of being saved, other than not dying and going to hell? Brother Fred, I'll never face God for my sins. Never. Back in the 70s, Jack Van Impe, oh, I shouldn't have mentioned names. Jack Van Impe got up and started preaching, when you get to heaven, bless God, God's going to put your life on a giant movie screen and you're going to see all the things you did bad and all the things you should have done that you didn't do. Jack Van Impe's wrong. You say, how do you know that? Because God said, my sins are under the blood and I've been justified and it's just as if they had never been there. The only thing on my account is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That doesn't give me a license to go out and do wrong. It sure does humble me, though. But guess what? I'm not going to face the judgment for those sins. And if God's not going to judge me in heaven for it, why would he judge me here for it? Now, you say, well, I know somewhere in the Bible it says, let him alone. And by the way, God will leave you alone sometimes so that you come back to him. Gets tough enough every once in a while on your children. You got to let them struggle and do and fail so that they'll listen to you. Everybody doing all right? God is going to get pleasure out of heaven and out of earth, whether man pleases him or not. God will get pleasure out of heaven and out of earth, whether man pleases him or not. Listen to this. He'll get more pleasure if we obey him, though. There's that word, Wally. God wants to get more pleasure. But God will get pleasure out of heaven and earth, whether we please him or not. Did you know that before there ever was a man, God was pleased with creation? If you go through Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. God talks about he separated the light from the day, and the light he called day, and the night he called darkness, and the evening and the morning of the first day, and God saw that it was good, and it pleased him. And if you go all the way through Genesis chapter 1, before man was ever created, you find that creation and the earth pleased him. Guess what? God's pleased with the way things are running. Say why? Because the sun came up this morning. It'll go down tonight. We'll get rain somewhere. Probably here. We'll get sunshine. We'll get heat. We'll get cold. That's Minnesota. you know, Who do we think we are that we are the only pleasure to God? You think an awful lot of yourself. You're not the only pleasure to God. Now, let me give you about five or six things here today, and I'll move quickly, and I think this will bless you. God has heaven to give him pleasure. Bible says that whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven. Did you know that God has all the beauty of heaven to please him?
That's right.
Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, all the precious stones. Good night. He paved the streets with gold.
Yes, sir. That's amazing.
What man kills each other for down here, God used for tar up there. Think about it. Think about the streets being paved with purest of gold. That is amazing to me. Did you know that he has all of the saints who have ever died that are there? Not just St. Michael and St. Christopher and St. Nick and whoever. Say, who are saints? Saints are Christians.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to go through some process and have the Pope call you a saint. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I know people get upset when I hit the Catholic Church. Get upset because I'm going to keep hitting it. It's out of hell and it's of the devil. It's the mother of harlots according to the book of Revelation.
Yes, sir. Right.
Did you know that God has in heaven all of the angels at his beckoning call to please him? Did you know that he has all of the cherubims and seraphims to please him? Did you know that man is the only creation that has disobeyed God outside of Satan?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that the earth did not disobey God? Man did. Did you know that the heavens did not disobey God? Man did.
Right.
See, God has all of heaven and all of its beauty to please him. He has all the construction of the new mansions for every person that gets saved going on up there. You know how excited we are about to start on a new building? Well, every person that gets saved, God starts a new building project in heaven. I plan on keeping God's construction business awful busy.
Amen.
That's good.
Say why? Because Ray's got to drive lumber, amen? He has people getting saved and added to its citizenry list every day. Say, that makes God happy. More people going to be there.
Right.
Next, the Bible says in verse number 6 that the seas please the Lord. Did you know that the oceans and the waters please God? You say, that's strange. No, that means the earth will please him whether man does or not. Did you know that all of the
fish in the ocean and all the fish in the seas please God? The whales, the sharks, the sea anemone, all of the different colored fish. By the way, God is pleased with all those things. God made those for his pleasure and for our pleasure. Did you know that God's pleased,
listen to this, with the tides? As they clean the water for earth?
Amen.
Do you know that the water is cleansed by the tidal system in the oceans? Do you ever notice when you go to the beach, there's always trash on the beach? Can I tell you why? That's from the tides.
Yep.
They are now having debris wash up in Hawaii from the tsunami that took place in Japan about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
It's taken all these years for that trash to eventually, through the tides, get to different places, and it's washing up on the shores.
Amen.
Say, what is that? God's cleaning the water.
Yes, sir. That's right.
He's cleaning the trash up. It's our job to go out and pick it up, not throw more of it down.
Amen. That's right.
Now, listen to this. It also stirs the water, and that salt water, listen to me, salt water is very important for us to have fresh water.
Yes, sir.
Salt water retains all the impurities and drops it to the ocean floor. And all the pure water is evaporated and comes back to the earth as clean water for us to drink.
Yes, sir.
Man doesn't need to go out with millions of gallons of Joy dish soap or Dawn dish soap to take care of the oil spills. By the way, that's all they use.
Yes, sir. That's what it is.
They use dishwashing soap to break up the oil slicks. Did you know that the ocean water will do it naturally on its own?
Yes, sir.
Salt water is a cleanser. And it cleanses the waters, pushes the dirt to the bottom. God even made critters that clean up the bottom of the ocean to get rid of all that. Now, listen very carefully here. The tides help us have the evaporation so that we have clean water. It's called the water cycle. All the water falls from heaven, drops to earth, follows into the rivers and the creeks. All those rivers run into the sea. The sea cleans the water, and it evaporates and comes back. But if it weren't for those tides moving the water, if that water wasn't moving, there would be less evaporation. You know that there's not one less drop of water on the face of the earth now than there was 7,000 years ago? Every drop of water is still here. It is. We don't lose any water. You okay over there, Ron? I'm not doing mouth to mouth. Tammy will have to take care of it for you. See, the seas please the Lord. Now, look at me. Well, we're destroying our oceans. Global warming's going to destroy it. Do you know that that is a farce? Period. I got to hurry. The Bible says that lightning pleases God. Look at verse 7. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. Whew. Now, I don't know about you. I hate electricity. God bless you, Brother Gus and Brother Barnes and some of you guys that fiddle with electricity. I don't even like going to Lowe's and getting a roll of wire off the shelf. It scares me. I usually tell the guys, just put it in a bag for me. I can't stand that stuff. Thank you, Brother Mike. You say, why? I don't like electricity. I said this a couple weeks ago. I moved here about 14 years ago, and I was pushing a little shopping cart across Weiss parking lot. I had an umbrella in one hand, the cart in the other, on a Sunday afternoon, and the lightning went across the parking lot, and it hit probably the length of this room away from me. Cars flying. It didn't hit me, but when you got a stupid umbrella in the air and you're holding on to a metal shopping cart, there's enough residual electricity. It went all the way through. You can't let go of anything fast enough. And I mean, it went through that hand all the way through this hand, and you could feel it all the way through your body. I was tasting my fillings in my mouth for about 3 days. I hate electricity. Now, wait a minute. Lightning's important. Lightning charges the rain before it falls to the earth with nitrogen and other important things that we need in order for the things on earth to grow. Yes. You know, after a good electrical storm, you can go out and smell the nitrogen. Yeah. And it's usually from the rain, not actually from the lightning itself. After you get an electrical storm, all of the grass turns a really, really, really bright green. All the crops green up. Can I tell you why? Because of all the extra nitrogen that God just supercharged into the rain. Lightning cleans the air. That heat and the nitrogen and the other gases created by it actually cleans the air. It also, you won't understand this maybe, that water vapor is very cold. That heat causes it to get heavier and it drops. That's why it usually rains heavier when there's lightning. Because it's charging it up and it's heating it up so that it falls a little faster. And that's exactly what takes place. God knows that that lightning is important. Can I tell you something? Lightning pleases God. Now, I used to be afraid of it. I'm still not real excited about it, but as long as I'm inside somewhere, I don't mind watching it. I'm not putting a stupid umbrella up to go watch it, though. Yeah, buddy. There's no scarier feeling than being on a golf course when the lightning starts. Amen, Brother Larry? Man, you got metal shafts in your hand, and the lightning starts going. You say, what do? You put the clubs away, and you go sit in the clubhouse and quit golf for the day. You're just a walking lightning rod. at that point in time. Well, I'll go hide under a tree. Numbskull. It's taller than anything else. I've seen a lot of trees get hit by lightning. That's not a good spot to be in. All right? I got to hurry. Number four. God is pleased with the wind patterns to aid our weather on earth. Verse number seven talks about the winds and their circuitries and how that it moves about. Did you know that the wind is very important to the earth? A lot of you don't realize part of the wind is caused because the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. All right, you are actually spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. If you could step out of the gravity of Earth, you would be traveling 1,000 miles an hour. Some of you didn't realize that. Now, gravity is holding us too, and we're moving with it, so we don't feel it. It's kind of like when you're in the car doing 70 miles an hour down I-81, your body is going 70 miles an hour, not just the car. If you stepped out of the car at 70 miles an hour, you'd know why you're going 70 miles an hour, because you can't keep up at that speed. Right. Your feet were going to go pitter-patter, pitter-patter, and you're going to go... and you're going to look like one of those deer that got hit. Uh-oh. You'll have your hide everywhere. Now, wait a minute. The winds bring the weather around the earth. They call it the Coriolis effect. The heating and cooling of the air... Hot air rises, cold air falls. Well, as the hot air goes up, what happens to the air that was around it? It starts moving. As the cold air comes down, it pushes the air around. So either direction, you're going to have wind. That's what creates the wind. It's not just this. When the earth is spinning at this direction, it causes the wind patterns to change. But the wind isn't all caused by that. It's caused by the heating and the cooling of the air. All right? Everybody doing all right? You're getting your science lesson for the day. By the way, those winds cool us in the summer, and sometimes they can even warm you in the winter. Now, sometimes it makes you colder in the winter. My wife and I were in Southern California for 2 years as an assistant pastor out there. And it's crazy. About December... In January, they have something called the Santa Ana winds. Amen, Brother Gus? It could be 60 degrees outside, and the Santa Anas kick up, and it'll go to 85 degrees, and the wind's blowing about 25, 30 miles an hour. And it's wind that comes right off the desert, right out of Death Valley, and runs right up through Southern California. And it's a hot wind. I mean, you're playing in short-sleeve shirts at 10 o'clock at night in the Santa Anas, playing softball at 10 o'clock at night in January. Soon as those winds kick up, man, it gets warm. Say, what is that? That's God, and God's pleased with that. It's kind of nice. Now, around here, when it kicks up in January and it's 20 miles an hour, it's 20 below zero. The wind freshens the air and keeps the oxygen and all the necessary gases that we breathe all mixed up. It's moving all those things around so that God gives us fresh air as well. You know, if we didn't have the wind moving, we'd be in trouble.
Yes, big time.
Major trouble. Because all of the carbon dioxide is heavier than oxygen. And it would all settle here and we would all choke ourselves to death. But God moves that air around so that we have fresh air coming down at all times. Those things please God. God's pleased with heaven. God's pleased with earth. He's pleased with the seas. He's pleased with lightning. He's pleased with the wind. And may I say this, and this is what I've been waiting to get to. Look at verse number 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Did you know God's pleased with being God? And his name is a memorial to the earth. God said that his name is a memorial to the earth. Let me read a verse to you or two here. You need not turn there. If you write them down, you can look at them later. But Exodus chapter 3, verse number 15 reads, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. God's name is a memorial to all generations. By the way, if you're saved, you take on the name Christian, like Christ. We are taking on the name of Jesus Christ, who is God, by the way. Now, watch this. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 14. I love this. I'm about to shout. Amen. Now, hang on. Here it comes. Exodus 17, verse number 14. The Bible says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Write for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Can I tell you something? The word of God is God's memorial to us. Jesus is the word of God.
Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God, his name is a memorial. His word is a memorial to us. That's why we're not supposed to mess with it. That's why we're not supposed to get smarter than it.
Amen.
By the way, you can't get smarter than God.
Right.
Don't fiddle with the Bible. Just read it and live it. Read the memorial because it's a living memorial that has not changed. I am the Lord thy God. I change not.
That's right.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. And it is an eternal memorial. Now, a little over 2 weeks ago, my buddy, our dear friend, Brother Ray Craig, while he was driving, was in an accident, and God took him to heaven. You say, Preacher, do you understand it? No. But I know this. God does.
Yes, sir.
Rhonda, Becky, Sarah, I can't tell you I understand it. But I know this. God's still God.
Amen.
I'm not going to question him. I know that God gave us Ray Craig for 55 years as a memorial. And his name will be a memorial for generations to come. Ray was one of the most humorous people you'll ever be around in your whole life. Remember Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? You know, hurricane weather. You know, that was not Ray Craig. Ray Craig was the total opposite of that. I mean, the whole world could be crashing down, and he's got something funny to say. And I mean, ridiculously funny. And sometimes it really wasn't funny, but he thought it was funny. And that made it funny. Now, most of the time it was funny. But there was times I'd look at him and say, I know, but I thought it was funny, Brother Bush. And you couldn't help but smile. Now, wait a minute. I've done something. I'm not done with it yet, but I have here a plaque that was made. It's got Ray's face put on it. A picture. It's called the Ray Craig Memorial Bus Route. I have one of these that's going to be put on our bus because he was our bus driver. I have this one that will be given to Rhonda that she can have. Matter of fact, my dad is making a wooden bus to put it on, and it'll be done for her very shortly here. It says, This bus route is dedicated to the memory of Ray Craig, who went to heaven on May 18th, 2016. Ray was a faithful church bus driver and worker for many years, became the driver for Grace Baptist Church in 2014. Ray loved the bus ministry. This route is dedicated to his memory. All of the people reached by this route will go on his account in heaven. We loved and will continue to love you, Ray, Pastor Craig Bush and the Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
One of these is going to go on that bus. If we get rid of that bus someday, the plaque comes off and we'll put it back on the bus physical bus that will take that route, but that route will always be known as the Ray Craig Memorial Bus Route. Say why? Because that fella is a memorial to us. There are people in this room, you're going to heaven because of that fella right there.
Yes, sir.
There are people in this room, God's taught you the Word of God because of that fella right there. And his name will be a memorial to us. I don't ever want to forget him. By the way, you can't. He had a lasting impression on us. Can I tell you something? Listen to this very carefully. I loved Ray. Ray is one of my dear friends. I've known him for over a quarter of a century. Ray would text me at 4 a.m. I'd be up and say, Ray, I'm praying for you. He'd say, good, I'm driving. And he'd say, preacher, I passed 4 churches. You don't understand that. Ray told me every time he passed a church, he prayed for our church. Amen. Well, when you're a truck driver, you pass a lot of churches. He said, no, preacher, it's not every Baptist church. He said, any church I pass, I think of our church. I don't care what it is. He said, as I'm driving, I'm praying for a church every time I see a church. Guess what? He doesn't have to pray anymore. He's in the face of Jesus Christ talking Amen. To him for us.
Amen.
Man, we got an ambassador in heaven for us right now. He's not just on his knees here. He's there talking to him face to face for us. I don't want the memory of Ray Craig to ever go away. I really don't. You could meet Ray one time in your life and your life was changed. He had that kind of effect. Brother Stoltz, would you take this and give this to Rhonda for a moment? Rhonda, as soon as I get the backboard for that done, I'll get with you and we'll get it back from you and get it all mounted. Time did not allow it, but we got it. And I felt it was important. Listen to this statement. Just as that plaque reminds us of Ray, that book is a memorial. I have a hard time reading it, preacher. Oh, it's just to remind us of him. Remind us to do what he told us to do. Well, I don't understand it all. He didn't tell you to understand it all. He just said, read it and follow what you can. And as you learn more, as you go to church more, you'll understand more. And as you grow, you'll have the ability to do more. Hey, I didn't always understand what I understand now. I'm 49 years old. I've been preaching for 36 years almost. I didn't understand as much 35 years ago as I understand now. Each and every day I learn more and I learn more. And as I learn more, I want to live more. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to change his words to match our life. We're supposed to change our life to match his words. These are to be a living memorial to us. These are to be, his name is to be a living memorial. I wish you could. Dr. Anderson is an amazing soul winner. Now, he's got a lot of financial goods, but he uses them to, I mean, he was witnessing to the waitresses. He's got each ring that was on his hand, each of them were $100,000 each. The watch that he wears is a real Rolex that cost him $25,000. He said, see that right there? That's $125,000. Well, you can get a waitress's attention that quick with that. You got this 6-8-carat diamond sitting right there. And I mean, it's a big honker. Now, wait a minute. He uses that not for attention to him, but so that he can talk to him long enough to give him the gospel. It's a soul-winning tool to him. Can I tell you something? And by the way, he's earned the right to wear those too. Just so you know, you give away as much as he has, you've earned the right. That's why we shouldn't fiddle with that. That's God's memorial. These are God's words. This is his name, not our name. And we're to do what he says, not what we say. You know, we're not supposed to tell God how we're going to get to heaven. We're supposed to do what he says about going to heaven. It's not by works of our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But after we get saved, we're supposed to obey him. We could bring more pleasure to God if we would obey him. I love my children. They're grown. But can I tell you something? When they obey, and when they did obey, life was a whole lot better.
Yes, sir.
But life was good whether they obeyed or not.
Yes,
sir. I love my wife. She loves me. Our marriage is good and strong. But as long as I obey, everything's good. Now, wait a minute. We differ. Say why? Because men and women don't think the same.
Amen.
And by the way, I don't want to think like a woman.
Amen.
And by the way, I don't want my wife to think like a man.
Amen.
That's weird.
It is.
Now, we have to negotiate sometimes and meet in the middle somewhere. And every once in a while, I got to say, honey, you don't understand. It's just going to be this way. Eventually, you'll see it. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Every once in a while. Now, we don't get mad and fuss and feud, and she doesn't throw too many frying pans at me. And it works out. I learned to get rid of all that cast iron stuff. It hurts too bad. I know why you women like cast iron. Wait a minute. Did you know God's going to have pleasure in heaven and earth whether you get it or not? Can I tell you something? God wants you to enjoy the pleasure. God wants you to enjoy it with him. And God wants to fill full your pleasure here on earth. And it's not when you get pleasure by doing sinful things. Oh, your flesh might be pleased, but you're not going to find pleasure in it. It goes away. Temporary pleasure is not real pleasure. Huh. That means this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know how to enjoy life here, and you'll never enjoy heaven.
That's right.
You'll burn and go to hell. You really will. You'll die and go to hell and burn for eternity. Muhammad Ali, with all of his accolades, is burning in hell right now.
Yes, sir. That's
right. All of what they said were good things that he did, which most of them I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. But where did it get him? I'm the greatest of all time. And he had never submitted and bowed his knee to the God of heaven and got saved. Changed his name to Muhammad, which meant almighty, most powerful one. That's, he wanted to be God. Well, he had it for 40, 50 years. But where did it get him? Where to get him? I'll be honest with you. I don't need to be the greatest of all time. I get to serve the greatest of all gods.
Amen.
I'd rather go to the greatest of all heavens.
That's right.
I'd rather enjoy heaven, but I'm going to enjoy earth while I got it.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? 2.5 weeks ago, Ray was enjoying life here. And the moment that God took him to heaven, he started enjoying heaven as much or more than he was enjoying earth.
Yes.
He didn't have to change gears. Say why? Because he was doing what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
We miss him. Rhonda and the girls, they're going to need us. We'll be there for them. It's not going to replace Ray. I wish I could tell you that, Rhonda. Nobody could replace Ray. Ray couldn't even replace Ray. Can I tell you something? Don't get mad at God if it doesn't work out your way. The Avalar family in Kentucky, my wife's grandmother passed away, all in 3 days. Lady that came down to help Rhonda, Stephanie, came here from Indiana just days after Ray went to heaven. That first weekend she was here in church. Last Monday, her 23-year-old son committed suicide in the home. They had a funeral Friday. I wish you understood how hard it is. Mrs. Lopez called me last week about Miss McCormick and how that they put her on hospice. And the world would say, oh, that's bad. I said, well, Mrs. Lopez, we get to see God work again, don't we? And God may take her soon. But God may leave her like he did Fred. Hospice is shocked. They don't want to mess with Grace Baptist Church, let me tell you. They're losing business. They have to keep extending our members, amen? You say, is it the church? No, it's God.
Amen.
Mrs. McCormick, I wish I could tell you that the pain's going to be gone. You don't know how many times I've been up praying for you. I wish I could take the pain away. Someday it will be. But until then, we're going to thank God for every moment we got. Rhonda, girls, wished I could bring your daddy back. He'd be ticked off if I did. But I can't. But we can leave some things as a memorial and work towards building his name and keep it going forever. Every one of you bus teenagers, listen to me. You come in on that bus. You owe a man named Ray Craig an awful lot. You owe him to live right. You owe him to live right. He gave his life for you. By the way, you owe it to God too. He gave his life for you as well. Folks, God's going to get pleasure in heaven and earth, whether we give it to him or not. But I prayed with Brother Stoltz and Brother Mike this morning in my office before the bus left. And I said, God, when I put my head down on the pillow tonight, I hope you can look down and say, I had a good day because of Grace Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I do. Not because of me, but because of this church. Because of the people doing what God wants us to do. If you've never been saved, today's the day to be saved.
Amen.
If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we can care for it today. If you've been saved and baptized, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to obey God a little better. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'll listen to me for just a moment, I promise I'm done in a very short moment here. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that message was something that I needed. I personally needed that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands everywhere. If you've been saved, never been baptized, you'd like to take care of that today, just come forward. We'll get your name and we'll get you baptized today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we can take care of that. Many of you ought to come to this altar. Come as far forward as you can. Kneel, pray. Whatever the Lord was dealing with you about today, would you come?